Meeting to order.
Before we come to here, realize that the song says that a good man and a good woman steps your order, and we follow it. Do not leave her headlong because you hold her hand. Lord, I pray that you with our government that in the near future we're making good decisions about our next president, Father. Be with us today that we'll make good decisions for our constituents, that our people can be happy and enjoy the city they live in because it is one of the best cities in the state of Florida. We thank you for all your blessings. We ask in his holy name, amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, we'll go ahead and start with our visitors. Up first, we have Mr.
Need to read that.
Oh. Pick that back. The Williams family has asked for the Williams CPA and zoning application to be deferred, which will be re-advertised in the near future for further discussion. We thank you for coming out and look forward to hearing from you at the next advertised meeting. Up next, for visitors, I have Mr. Charlie Kennedy, candidate for Levy County Commission.
Thank you, Commissioners, for giving me just a few minutes to introduce myself. My name is Charlie Kennedy, and I'm a candidate for the Levy County District 1 County Commission seat. That's in the Bronson area. But it's also a countywide vote, and I just wanted to come and introduce myself and let people know who I was. I may not see you at an event or someplace else. I just wanted to come and let the city chief know that I'm going to be here for you just like I am for any other person in the county. And I look forward to meeting you or helping you any way I can. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for getting. All right, up next we have Miss Amy Fink with the First United Methodist Church for the Back to School Bash.
She is not here.
And Mr. Jerry is not here either, so Mary, you're welcome to take over from there.
We're at public comment right now, and we're at public comment. We're not going to take any commentary about our annexation points. I know we're saving that to the end. So, do we have any public comment now related to that?
What was that related to?
Our annexation.
Did you say you're taking it at the end of the meeting, or you're not going to have it at all?
Yes, at the end.
Okay.
We're going to take some questions, but we're going to limit the amount of time we talk with them so we don't have anybody here to actually field those questions.
He needs to speak up because it's hard to understand what he's saying back here.
As I was stating, ma'am, I said right now we're not taking any questions with regards to the annexation, is what I was stating right now at the beginning of the meeting, that we would do that at the end. We're going to probably cover no more than 15 to 20 minutes with that because we don't have anybody from that agency yet.
Thank you.
Didn't answer those questions. So, is there any public comment at this point?
Okay. First item that we have is resolution number 24-04, fire assessment for fiscal year 24-25. This resolution will continue the process for imposing a fire assessment for fiscal year 24-25. This resolution provides the following: $159 per dwelling unit for residential, 5 cents per square foot for non-residential buildings, $10 per vacant land parcel, which will generate approximately $231,500 of estimated net revenue. It also provides the following exemptions: 100% exemption for government parcels, 100% exemption for wholly tax-exempt institutional buildings, which includes churches and nonprofits, 100% hardship exemption for those homesteaded properties that meet the extremely low poverty income limits. All exemptions are options for the City of Chiefland and are not required. If you do not want to provide these exemptions, you can include any motion. I apologize. You can include in any motion the exemptions the city wants to include, and we can make the appropriate adjustments to the resolution prior to the signing. The resolution also sets the date of a public hearing, which will be held at the commission's regularly scheduled meeting on September 9th, 2024. The resolution also directs the city manager to submit the fire assessment roll to the property appraiser for inclusion on the trim notice and to publish notice of the public hearing in the newspaper on August 19th, 2024. Included is the resolution for the preliminary fire assessment.
I know last year we had no applicants for the. Have we had any discussion?
Okay. I have a question. Well, fire chief, what do you think about this? How do you feel about the way this is set up? Is it doing the job, or is it something that should be addressed, or what?
Well, we've been through multiple years of fire assessment. It's a way for us to bring in extra revenue, and it is specifically directed for the fire department. So it cannot be used for anything but the fire department. We kind of feel that it's kind of fair in any type of situation. There's always people who pay more, people who pay less, and some that pay none. Fire assessment assesses every resident in the city, businesses and homeowners alike. We believe that we have a rate right now. We're kind of fair on that. It is bringing us in about $236,000. And it helps reduce the burden off the regular city budget as far as our operating expense of the fire department. So we've been very successful with it. It's been a very successful program. And I urge you to vote to continue this program. Thank you.
Pretty much that's how you're able to cover the additional positions you added, pretty much just through the fire system, wasn't it? That's how you're able to cover
the original three that we put on. That is correct, Mayor.
I move to approve the fire assistant resolution number 24-04.
Second.
Motion to move second to approve the fire resolution 24-04. All in favor of approval of this by stating aye.
Aye.
Aye. Stand. Motion passes.
Thank you. Next item that I have is James Moore engagement letter. Robert Beauchamp of Beauchamp and Edwards retired from doing the city's pre-audit as of June 2024. Very sad about this. James Moore is the city's current annual auditor and has given an engagement letter to also do the city's pre-audit. Fiscal year 2025, we will need to discuss going out for a bid for all our audit services. James Moore is familiar with our accounting procedures and works well with staff. I would like for you to consider allowing James Moore to complete the 2023-2024 pre-audits. The fiscal impact will be Beauchamp and Edwards last year. They did not give us a quote for this year. They did not prepare an engagement letter knowing that they were going to be retiring from us. Last year, we paid Beauchamp and Edwards $17,600 for the pre-audits. This year, James Moore has, they got all of the information from Beauchamp and Edwards on what they handle, what they submit, everything that they do, and they have given us a quote for $19,500 for a pre-audit.
Did they say why we need the $2,000 increase?
Well, Beauchamp and Edwards would have given us an increase as well. We just didn't know what that increase was going to be because they decided to go ahead and retire. So we already knew that James or that Beauchamp and Edwards was going to also increase. We just didn't know how much.
I move to approve the letter engagement with James Moore Financial Services to put the pre-audit for fiscal year 23 through 24.
Second.
Motion to move to second.
So prior to this year, Beauchamp and Beauchamp did the pre-audit and the audit?
Beauchamp and Edwards did our pre-audit. James Moore did our annual audit.
So it's not a conflict for someone to do the pre-audit and the audit?
It is not. So they have two teams. They have different teams. So they have teams that do a pre-audit, and they have teams that do our annual audit. So they'll just work together. And, of course, they work with staff. We are the ones that provide the information.
James Moore is kind of over at us. We dealt with him. He's just done a lot of contract services for us.
Great question.
So once again, we have a motion and a second on the floor to approve the letter of engagement with James Martin Financial Services to complete the pre-audit 23-24. All in favor of approving this motion by stating aye?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes.
That's all I have, but Mayor, Ms. Amy Fink has just stepped in. She needs to speak for the Methodist Church, if that's okay.
How you doing? We wanted to see if we could have the road closures for the back to school bash for July 27th. It's a Saturday from 9 to 12.
Is that your regular roads?
Yes. Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. I don't see an issue. We've been doing it for years. It's been successful. It's a good thing to do, and I support that. Let's do that.
I feel the same. Rest Commission, I do.
I'm
good with
that. It's been very helpful over the years. Thank you.
Yes, please. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Ms. Mayor, that is all that I have.
Okay. Well, moving forward, though. Police chief there.
We don't have any.
Okay.
Mr.
King? There you go. Mr. Fugate?
No, sir.
Do we have any city's old business? City's commissioners' old business. At this point, the floor is open for public comment now at this point.
Mayor, 2 minutes.
Yeah, as I stated, the floor is open to public comment at this point. I don't think we're going to be able to yield a lot of questions for you. Like I said, we don't even have a representative from the company here tonight, but you're welcome to come up. I asked that you could, if you could, just keep your questions and commentary to 2 minutes if you could. Thank you.
And please state your name when you come to the podium, if you don't mind.
Anyone?
I may need to back you up from your position.
Do what? I'm sorry.
This is still, I'm sorry, I got here a little bit late. I thought the meeting was at 6. This is still in regards to the land development, correct? Okay.
Could you state your name now?
Yes. I'm sorry. I'm Reagan Hudson. I spoke briefly about this at the last meeting. You know, stated my opinion and the concerns that I'm sure that a lot of the community has about personal, you know, issues just with, you know, bringing a new development like that to town. But I have some numbers here because I figured that that would be a little bit easier for people to visualize.
Ms. Reagan, can I stop you for just 1 second? I apologize. You weren't here in the beginning of the meeting. The Williams family has asked for this, for the portion of the Williams rezone to be rescheduled at a later date. So the Williams family is not here, and their representative is not here. Just so you know, but you are free to speak.
Okay, so I can still reference this.
Absolutely.
Okay, awesome. Thank you. So just for the council and for the people that are here, so Walmart that we all know and love, including the parking lot and the retention pond, is only 21 acres, and this commercial area that we're wanting to zone is 400 acres. So that is roughly 20 times what we currently have at the Walmart parking, Walmart lot, I guess I should say. So that's a big jump, in my opinion. And I brought this up last time, but Celebration Point in Gainesville is only 160 acres, and Butler Plaza is 267 acres. So all of Butler Plaza, all those shops that we know and love, those are only 267 acres. And we want to bring 400 acres of commercial land use to Chinkle, Florida. In my opinion, I think that that would be a drastic, drastic change and an upset to our rural way of life. So zoning is the tool that this commission possesses in order to control that development. And if you allow for 400 acres of land to be zoned commercially, you're not going to get that power back. And sure, it was mentioned before that, you know, they're planning for less square footage, you know, it's going to be a low intensity commercial land usage, but that is something that can be changed. And this is a 50-year long plan, so they can come back and request for changes to be made to that. So, but the zoning, that stands, that's not going to change. Once they get 400 acres, they're not going to ask for less. So I just wanted to make reference to a point that was made last meeting about we're either going to have to choose between raising our taxes or allowing for this land development. So I took the liberty of looking on the tax website, and Strawberry Fields, as of 2023, has brought in $82,389. And then Southern Leisure, the other RV park, which both of these are new businesses that have come in since about 2019, so 5 years ago. 5 years ago, Southern Leisure was bringing in $4,613.
Ms. Reagan, your time's up. If you have it, you can wrap it up.
I give her my time.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. Currently, they are making $124,595 as of the year 2023. So those are just two new businesses that we've had in the city limits of Florida. And I didn't, city limits of Chief Lynn, excuse me. And I didn't even include the Circle K, but I'm sure you can all imagine how much revenue they've brought to the city. But my point being with that is that we have had an increase in revenue in the past 4 to 5 years. However, on my paper. However, our city taxes, here it is, they all look the same. Our city taxes have increased continually. My home value has only increased by 16% since 2019. However, our taxes have increased by 47% since 2019. And you can go back to 2013 and look, but I don't want to scare anybody with those numbers because we have gone through three different presidencies and a global pandemic, so who knows, those numbers, you know, are quite different. But the point then making is that even with growth within the city limits, that does not guarantee that your taxes are not going to go up.
Right.
That does not guarantee that your taxes are going to plateau or stop increasing, because that's just the way of life. Taxes are going to go up, needs are going to go up, and it is my personal opinion that this 400 acres of commercial land use is just too much, too fast for our city to be able to keep up with. And I think that if you're going to bring in new businesses to that 400 acres of land, it's going to be commercial and retail with big box office chains, and it is going to pull customers, and it's going to pull money away from the mom and pop stores that are currently residing here within the city limits, your current taxpayer base. So I think that if you want to keep anybody in mind, you need to keep them in mind. So housing, that's fine, whatever. But in my personal opinion, 400 acres of commercial land use is way too much, way too much. It would drastically impact our current way of life. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, good evening. My name is Beth Reed. I sent you all an email earlier today, but I'm sure you probably haven't had a chance to review it, so I just wanted to highlight the points of my email. I was new to the whole situation last meeting. Since then, I've done some research. I was able to get a copy of the presentation from last meeting, and I was kind of surprised at the quality or lack thereof of the maps that was included. Couldn't read the roads, couldn't figure out anything. The land was all colored green, and I couldn't figure out what land were they talking about. So I went to the Levy County Property Appraisers site and started searching for, you know, Williams Family Inc. or Williams Family Trust, and I finally pieced it all together. I would say at least 80% of Long Pond is covered in this annexed area, and that is really disturbing to me, because I don't know if those maps were the same maps that were sent forward to the state, and if so, it's almost misleading to anybody in the state looking at those maps. With everything being green, it seems to be saying, we don't have any waterways, we don't have any issues, it's all a nice green field. And I'm really concerned about that, because Long Pond is huge and a huge ecosystem. And what is going to happen with that? I know last meeting the representative mentioned something about, you know, little waterfront or whatever, but how little, and what are they going to do with the rest? And if it gets dammed up, where's that water going to go? Further west, and start flooding the properties along that area. And so I'm just wrapping up, thank you. I just urge you all to review that email. It was much better written than what I spoke, but I wanted to give you the highlights about that. So thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
My name is John DeChristi. I moved here 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, from Orlando. I lived in Orlando. I moved there in 1984. It was a nice, small city. The tallest building in Orlando was the Atlantic Bank, and the second tallest one was the Angel Built Hotel. I actually worked in the Celebrity Dinner Theater. That's why I moved there. In the course of 12 years, where I lived just blew up. So I moved to Conway, which was then the nicest neighborhood in Orlando. Best schools, best everything. But I left there 2.5 years ago. 436 along Conway is known as Heroin Alley. It's all because of sprawl.
Yeah.
It started slow, but within 15 years, every orange grove, every piece of green disappeared, and they turned it into developments. And the more developments they built, the more, what do they call, Section 8 housing they had to build. So you build so many houses, but then you have to have affordable housing. I have nothing against affordable housing, but when affordable housing comes in, your property values go down. When I bought my house in 84, it was $108,000. At one time, it was worth $450,000 because it was in Conway. In the last 5 years, it dropped $150,000. So they said the same thing. Well, we're going to keep green, we're going to keep this. Orlando, the city, beautiful. I have to go back there for my doctors every now and then. I get off the turnpike, takes me 45 minutes to go 15 miles. That's the traffic every day, all day long, because it's just too many people, too fast. And that's what they did. They built it up too fast. And faster than this would be, but in this small area like this, that's what's going to happen. Once it starts, it does not stop.
Right.
It just continues on. I mean, you all fought for that highway. They wanted to run the highway through here from, what is it, 539?
That's your time, sir.
The thing, and you stop that. You start building this stuff up, that highway's coming.
Yep.
And it won't stop. I don't say you can't have development, but not like this.
Yeah, I agree.
And I don't know if it's exactly a green area. I haven't seen it. I haven't been here long enough. But I'm just saying, I moved out of Orlando. I left there. I left that house to buy a nice little manufactured home on 2 acres so I can enjoy my retirement in a nice, quiet neighborhood. That's not going to be the way if you start developing like this.
Thanks,
sir. Thanks, sir.
My name is Brett Ayers, and I actually have some more things for you guys regarding this than for the developers or whoever it is. Just like this gentleman said, that tyrant. I can't help but wonder what's going to happen if this is allowed to go through with that highway. And you may say, what's the big deal? It's been tabled. The big deal is that little highway will take my home out. That red northern line literally plows straight through my home. Okay? I grew up in Broward County. Okay? Much like this gentleman in Orlando, I grew up, believe it or not, on the corner of the Everglades. And all there was cow pastures. Yeah, believe it or not, Fort Lauderdale was surrounded by cow pastures, y'all.
Yep.
Go show me a livestock other than the Southwest Ranches, which, oh, by the way, was zoned wetlands. And we'll get into that in a minute. But Southwest Ranches can't keep the water out their homes. So now you'll have people moving in to homes that will be flooded annually because the way the land is there. Go look at Broward County. This is a massive problem. And it's not just for now, but it's for as it grows over the next 50 years. And y'all are great here, sitting here right now, but who's going to be in charge in 10 years? Are they going to allow the growth to continue at a small, slow rate the way they have it projected? Or are they just going to say, oh, well, you know, there's a lot of concerns from a lot of residents. And yeah, people have showed up, but honestly, I think there's a lot more that would be here if they were given better information that these meetings existed and that this was actually going on.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Also, the wetland zoning, those maps, thank you. Thank you for bringing that up. Those maps are atrocious. Are they zoned wetland? Because it appears that the banks of Long Pond are actually zoned wetland on the National Registry, which wouldn't you have to contact the EPA and all of that and go through state, you know? Just a thought, y'all.
Thank you.
Right, BRETT.
I'm Dr. Keith Finger, and what you said a moment ago about the level of the pond, maybe y'all don't realize what happened to the pond in 2019.
I do.
When we had that 28 inches of rain. I happen to live on Long Pond. My closest neighbor is a 12-foot alligator I speak to every morning, about 100 yards around the house. I'm not on the pond, on the west side, on the very north end. And when it rains a lot, the pond level comes up. In 2019, when we had that large atmospheric river that came over us, my house was an island, literally an island. 5 feet behind my back door was a grass strip with the water where the gators hung out, because that was the land. It was all the way to the road. So what's going to happen? You know, they're going to develop this place. They're going to put in pavement. They're going to put in driveways. They're going to put in parking lots. Where the heck's that water going to run off to? It's going to run in the Long Pond. What's it going to do to the people who live on the west side? It's going to flood us our asses out. Pardon my French. So I'm totally against it. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
I just want to clarify to everyone that's talking about water that I actually plotted every parcel that is listed, and there are 21 parcels. 20 of them are in flood zone AE, which means anyone purchasing in there is not only going to have a mortgage, they're going to have hurricane and flood, and that the potential for that water to be pushed further into the man that just left his property is exponentially larger. So that is just one of the many things that I've been looking into, as you're aware. And but I just wanted to clarify that 20 out of 21 zoned, and I went to the current FEMA map, and according to something I got from the builder from you, that they're going by the 100-year floodplain, okay? The 100-year floodplain is 44% of that property. The 30-year floodplain is what is on the website for the property appraisal, as is the website for FEMA. It's a flood zone. So that's a very serious thing that has to be taken into consideration. And when that water goes, if it goes anywhere near your sewer plant, then we have real problems. Real problems. That's all.
Thank you.
Raylene, R-A-Y-L-E-N-E.
Thank you.
What's your last name?
Word. W-R-L-E-N-E. You'll be the last speaker, sir.
My name is Joshua White. I'm married with an 11-year-old daughter as well. My family and I, we moved out of Pasco County in October of 22. Correction, we didn't move. We fled Pasco County. Because the urban sprawl out there had gotten so bad to the point we just couldn't, life was not enjoyable anymore. I mean, you couldn't go anywhere at any point in the day with any kind of speed. Couldn't get from point A to point B. It'd take you an hour and a half to drive 36 miles at almost any point in the day. Just wanted to point out a few facts. There's a lot of families in this area with long histories who like the way things are. I personally have a family history in Dixie County of 40 years. And I've lived in the area twice this tenure. I'm going on 2 years at this point. It seems to me that the overwhelming majority of people in the Tri-County area oppose this expansion. I mean, if you look at any of the community pages, it's 95% opposed to it. I want to leave my property to my children one day, and I want them to desire that property. There's already urbanized areas of this state ready for people who want this type of lifestyle to move into.
That's right.
There's plenty of it for them. They don't need to do it here. And once it's gone, the rural will not be back.
Right.
It will not come back. Again, my name is Joshua White, and I appreciate y'all's time.
Thank you, sir.
Can I have just one quick minute?
Mayor,
I'm sorry. I wasn't aware that you were going to. I'm sorry. My name is Sylvia King. I guess my first question to you is, are your commission meetings recorded, or are the minutes just written afterwards?
So
they are recorded? Okay. All right. I wanted to also ask the commission if you have any knowledge or sense of whether this project is going to require Long Pond to be filled in and sand and dirt be brought in to a height that would accommodate what they're planning to do.
That's an engineering question. That's something I
don't know. Well, no, I asked if the commission, if it was the commission's perception or if you had any knowledge of any of that happening.
Since we have not gotten into developments, we don't have knowledge of that information as of right now.
Okay. The last thing I'd like to say real quick is we're not all against progress. I think there's some misnomers or misidentification out there that all of us that are against this project are anti-progress and, you know, want things to be like it was 50 years ago. I know it's not, okay? However, there are better ways to do this. And, you know, when I started researching this, I went first to this City of Chieftain website. Front page, full screen, the gem of the Suwannee Valley. The picture is of, I believe, cypress trees, woods, water, natural water, you know, an idyllic scene of the woods and the things that we value. That's what you're telling people the City of Chieftain is and is about. So another question for you is, how do you see this development fitting into what you're portraying our city to be?
Yes.
Sorry, I didn't put your time. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Okay, again, you have correspondence?
You all have some information about a class, the Florida League of Cities. You will read that information. They are offering a scholarship for any of our commissions who go to Florida League of Cities Institution Annual Conference. I think it's $2,000 scholarship. So if you all will read that information and let me know if you're interested so we can get you signed up to go to that conference.
I'd like to thank all y'all for coming out speaking tonight, and we should be moving forward with this. And what was the correspondence they gave back to you, Ms. Kane, as far as the address in this?
They have not given us a date. And that will be for the property owner to get with CHW and then with us to tell us when they want the date to be so we can advertise for it.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. Motion to approve.
I move to approve the City Chieftain Commission meeting minutes from June 24th, 2024 as written.
Second. Motion been moved and second to approve the regular minutes.
I'm sorry. And the amended motion to include the budget meeting minutes from June 24th as written as well.
Okay. Give us a second.
Sorry.
Motion been moved and second to approve the regular minutes and the budget minutes from June 24th, 2024. All in favor of this motion by stating aye.
Aye.
Once again, motion passes. Once again, appreciate y'all coming out. If there's nothing further, this meeting is adjourned at this point.
Thank you.